This is World Lutheran News Digest, an audio news magazine bringing you a look at significant events in worldwide Lutheranism. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
I'm Buzz Ulrich.
I'm Kip Allen.
Today on World Lutheran News Digest,
the Missouri Synod was founded by remarkable men. I'll tell you about one of them later in the program.
News programs all over the earth are continually reporting on earthquakes, tsunamis, typhoons and hurricanes, wildfires, tornadoes, devastating winter storms, and other major catastrophic events. That also means there are organizations that work to aid those who have been directly impacted by these disasters.
And now today's Fast Track.
The ninth meeting of Lutheran schools from the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Brazil recently completed with a full schedule of speakers of national prominence. That gathering also provided training sessions for teachers, principals, and school chaplains that are part of the network of Lutheran education in Brazil. Presentations included the value of a denominational educational institution, how to have a healthy self-esteem and help students develop it, and Beyond IQ, the school as a promoter of emotional and spiritual intelligences.
The closing of St. John's Lutheran Church in Helcom, New Zealand on Sunday, the 2nd of June, 2013, was a bittersweet ending to a congregation of between 100 and 200 people. The members assisted in the closing service by helping Pastor Harry Wendt carry out items including furnishings, documents, and gifting some items to other congregations in the Lutheran Church New Zealand. Members also took a special thank you offering to support other ministries and projects. St. John's Lutheran in Helcom had been blessing the people of New Zealand since 1875.
A large group of immigrants from Iran and Afghanistan are being welcomed to the Confessional Lutheran Church. The Independent Lutheran Church in Germany, the SELC, is celebrating the opening of a new church that is largely focused on immigrant members. Because of the swelling membership, the SELC has expanded beyond St. Mary's Church in Berlin-Zehlendorf to include Trinity Steglitz. Pastor Markus Büttner has been installed at St. Mary's, while Reverend Dr. Gottfried Martins is the pastor at Trinity Steglitz. Around 170 new Farsi-speaking members are being baptized and catechized in the SELC congregations.
Australian Lutheran College was once known as Luther Seminary and helped to train a well-known theologian from the United States who recently visited his former training grounds. These days, the Reverend Dr. Matthew C. Harrison is president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. On the 29th of May, Harrison was the guest speaker on the topic Sassy in Today's Context, presenting on the topic of how churches today can still draw from the experiences and teachings of theologian Hermann Sasse. Harrison pointed out to those in attendance that Sasse always stressed the importance of truth and hope, two points that are still vital in the 21st century.
Members of the staff from Concordia University, Wisconsin, and from ULBRA, Universidade Luterana do Brasil, have been holding a series of meetings to firm ties between the two educational institutions. Among the projects in which the two universities may engage would be courses in English and Portuguese as a second language. Among those who have been taking part in the discussions is Dr. David Berner, Executive Director of International Education for Concordia University, Wisconsin.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. ഇത് ലോക ലൂത്രൻ വാർത്താ പരിപാടിയാകുന്നു.
One of the earliest figures in the Missouri Synod was Friedrich Conrad Dietrich Winneken. Born in 1810 in the town of Verden in the German Principality of Hanover, he was educated at the universities of Göttingen and Halle. After teaching for several years, Winneken felt the call to bring the gospel and sacraments to Germans who'd immigrated to the United States. This according to Concordia Historical Institute's Associate Director for Archives and Library, the Reverend Marvin Huggins.
Gone to a couple of universities and acquired an interest in bringing the gospel to German immigrants out on the American frontier.
But how was a minister and teacher of modest means to find the wherewithal to embark on such a long, strenuous journey? Well, where there's a will, there's a way, and Winnikin found one.
He and another man who was interested in teaching managed to find a ship's captain who was sympathetic with their intentions and purpose and gave them free passage to the United States.
The young Pastor Winnikin arrived in the port of Baltimore in June 1838. A local congregation of German Lutherans had just lost its pastor, and Winnikin filled the slot. But he didn't stay long.
But then he was directed, because of his mission interest, to the mission committee of the Pennsylvania Ministerium that existed at that time, that was sending men out into the West.
The West at that time was the wilds of Ohio, Indiana, and Illinois. Winnikin served two congregations of German Lutherans near Fort Wayne, Indiana, but there were other German Lutheran settlers in the remote parts of the country who also needed spiritual pastorship. Winnikin set out on horseback to attend to their needs.
He began serving these two parishes and traveling throughout northwestern Ohio and all over Indiana and up into Michigan, very extensively on horseback through bad weather and all kinds of situations, finding settlers, German settlers, in various places and ministering to them, preaching, baptizing, and that sort of thing for a couple of years.
But his zealous desire to serve in remote areas took a toll. His health suffered as a result.
In his early years in the frontier in Indiana, that was like on horseback through dense forest in wintertime, falling into creeks and streams and so forth.
Winnikin's health deteriorated to the point where he had to return to Germany for treatment, but he put his time back in Germany to good use.
Eventually, in 1841, he became ill. He had to go back to Germany for some treatment. And at the same time, when he went back, he started visiting churches and Lutheran leaders to bring to their awareness the need for pastors in America.
While in Germany, he published a tract titled Die Not der Deutschen Lutheraner in Nordamerika. In English, The Distress of the German Lutherans in North America, which explained the need for pastors in the United States. The tract caught the attention of Pastor Wilhelm Lühe. He met Winnikin, and they proceeded to raise funds and train pastors for North America. Lühe also guided and educated Winnikin in the ways of confessional Lutheranism. A year later, his health restored, Winnikin returned to the United States to continue his work.
He came back to the U.S. in 1842, back to Fort Wayne for a few years. Then he was called to back to Baltimore to the church that he had originally had contact with.
It was at this time when Winnikin and Carl Walther first crossed paths.
During this time that he was in Fort Wayne, C.F.W. Walther in St. Louis had started publishing his magazine or newspaper, Der Lutheraner, The Lutheran. And Winnikin got hold of copies of that, and that was what brought about their connection in terms of starting to work toward forming the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
According to Huggins, Winnikin was overjoyed when he first read Walther's paper. He's reported to have exclaimed, "Thank God there are real Lutherans in America." The two and other leaders worked to found what became the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. It came into being April 26, 1847, at a convention of church leaders in Chicago. However, Winnikin was unable to attend because of pastoral duties in Baltimore. But he returned to St. Louis in 1850 as pastor of a local congregation. He remained one of the driving forces in the synod and became the synod's second president after Walther, serving for 14 years from 1850 to 1864. He was also the first president of the Concordia Theological Seminary. When his term as Synod President expired in 1864, he moved to Cleveland, Ohio, as pastor of a parish there, where he served until he retired in 1875. Although tireless in his desire to serve God, age and declining health, combined with Cleveland's severe winters, caused him to retire. He turned over the congregation to his son, Henry, and he left for California to live with a daughter.
He went to California where his daughter, who had married Pastor Jacob Beeler in San Francisco, lived. And for his health, to get away from the severe winters of Cleveland, to live with family in San Francisco.
He died the following year. Huggins invites people to visit the Concordia Historical Institute to learn more about the life and times of this remarkable man.
Here at Concordia Historical Institute, our facilities located on the Concordia Seminary campus, we have an exhibit in place about Winnikin and his life and ministry, showing some of the artifacts from his life and describing his work and so forth. And we welcome people to come by and take a look at that.
For World Lutheran News Digest, I'm Kip Allen.
This is World Lutheran News Digest.
Here are Robert Young and Jane Wyatt with Ellen O'Donohue, Billy Gray, and Lauren Chapin in Father Knows Best.
Here at KFUO, we're celebrating dads during the entire month of June. You have a chance to win for your dad a Grace Digital Wi-Fi radio. With this Wi-Fi radio, dad can listen to KFUO 24 hours a day, anywhere in the world, including the garage or wherever his man cave may be. Just go to facebook.com/KFUO radio and enter. Then post a comment on why your dad should win. The entry with the most likes wins the radio. Follow the complete guidelines on our webpage or Facebook page. Remember to have your friends go to Facebook, like us today, and then have them vote for your entry. Maybe they'll vote for another or even enter their dads in the contest as well. The contest will end, and the winner will be announced June 30th. Celebrate dads with your chance to win this great Wi-Fi radio from KFUO, the worldwide messenger of good news.
Faith and family, you have questions and our experts have the answers. Tell your friends and family to listen, call, and email your family questions to family@kfuo.org. Faith and Family is underwritten by Concordia University, Wisconsin. Faith and Family, weekday mornings at 11 on KFUO.
Worldwide KFUO, using today's technologies to proclaim the gospel of Christ to all nations. The messenger of good news, KFUO.
Usted está escuchando el resumen de noticias Mundo Luterano. This is World Lutheran News Digest.
Disasters have been around almost as long as sin. Most people would say that the world suffers from enough of them in the 21st century. News programs all over the earth are continually reporting on earthquakes, tsunamis, typhoons and hurricanes, wildfires, tornadoes, devastating winter storms, and other major catastrophic events. That also means there are organizations that work to aid those who have been directly impacted by these disasters. One of those persons charged with helping out is Reverend John Folley, the Associate Executive Director of Mercy Operations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in the United States.
We're continuing to monitor a number of areas. Just in the last couple of days, have been back in contact with Pastor Matt Canyon at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Waco. His congregation and he are responding yet to the fertilizer plant explosion in West Texas. And continuing to follow up, I guess, most significantly now with the Atlantic District and the New Jersey districts in their respective responses to the destruction in the Northeast as a result of Superstorm Sandy, and in contact with the disaster coordinator for St. John's Lutheran Church in Moore, Oklahoma.
That is to say that Folley and LCMS Mercy Operations and other ministries are being kept busy as a result of disasters. We should keep in mind that some disasters are man-made. Several weeks ago, an explosion in the city of West Texas in the United States destroyed or damaged
much of the residential area and caused millions of dollars in damage to the water system and other utilities. And some of the infrastructure will take quite a long time to be rebuilt. During this phase of that disaster, Reverend John Folley says there has been help coming from St. Paul Lutheran Church in nearby Waco, Texas.
Well, we're assisting Pastor Canyon and his congregation, and we're also working with Lutheran Social Services of the South as they are going to be providing and ensuring that there is adequate counseling for folks, that they have ongoing pastoral care to care for both Pastor Canyon as well as for folks who have been impacted by the explosion. Pastor Canyon is also trying to coordinate volunteers that come down. He has indicated that the cleanup is really scheduled to be completed, but then they'll be getting into the rebuilding phase. And so continuing to provide through LSS of the South and Pastor Canyon, providing gift cards to folks who still are doing without some essentials, are providing some vouchers for people who are still caught up in needing transitional housing until they get things figured out with their insurance companies.
And while that is still relatively fresh in the minds of those people who pay attention to news, for others who have not followed the massive cleanup that continues in the northeastern United States after last year's giant hurricane superstorm Sandy, we ask Reverend Folley to update us and specifically ask if there are ways for individuals or congregations to help out the victims of Sandy.
There are opportunities, and the local districts, the Atlantic District and New Jersey District, are the ones that are still responsible for coordinating any volunteer activity that is going to be utilized in the summer. In fact, with summer coming up, this would be a great opportunity for either youth groups or college campus ministry groups to utilize some of their summer time by contacting those districts and asking where and how they can get plugged into particular projects.
That having been stated, the Associate Executive Director of LCMS Mercy Operations says there has been good news in a poverty-stricken area of New York, known as the Far Rockaways, where the devastation has led the Atlantic District of the LCMS to explore the possibility of opening a Mercy Center, complete with Bible classes and confessional Lutheran teachings.
There is a goal that as this evolves, then a local congregation will be able to get started right in the heart of that neighborhood, because right now there is no Lutheran congregation in the Far Rockaways. That's why we believe that we have been baptized for this moment. This is an opportunity that's been given to us as the LCMS to bring, as they call them, these tangible expressions of mercy as they are connected with proclamation of the gospel and teaching the faith. And it's in the midst of such tragedy, it is a wonderful opportunity that God has given to us for his word to be planted.
And while that information seems to be positive, there have been other places that need good news. Several severe storms, some with devastatingly large tornadoes, hit areas of Oklahoma. LCMS Mercy Operations is helping the Oklahoma District Disaster Response Coordinators and getting other help for those families who have suffered from storm damage or loss. John Folley says there is a chance for others to help during the long cleanup and rebuild.
Well, the opportunities for volunteering are being coordinated through St. John Lutheran Church in Moore, Oklahoma. And Lutheran Church Charities, based out of the Chicago area, is working as a partner with the Oklahoma District to receive the registrations. In fact, yesterday in speaking with Ms. Karen Carner, who is the Congregational Disaster Response Coordinator, she had indicated that the messaging that they're sending out to folks is, you need to be responsible for getting yourselves here. And at this point, being self-sufficient, so you have to have your own lodging and you have to provide for your own meals, but we will find you the work. Now, they're working with all of the congregations in the area to identify people who will be willing to open up their homes to be able to sponsor families or individuals coming in to do volunteer work. And so, yeah, that would be an opportunity to work directly with St. John's, and by visiting their website or Lutheran Church Charities website, they're pretty clear about the information they provide about those opportunities.
I understand you were part of the group from LCMS that went to the Moore area right after the tornado hit?
Yes.
Okay, give me some sort of a feeling from what you gathered on information-wise on the ground there. Then maybe somebody that's only paid attention because they've heard it on the news. What's something that they need to do? Obviously, prayer will be helpful, some sort of financial assistance. What are the things that they should think about?
Well, thinking about in direct response to the tornado itself, at this point, other than prayer and financial gifts and volunteering, there isn't a lot of other opportunity right now for direct involvement or direct contact. And by the way, with that involvement, that volunteer, that doesn't have to be just for the debris cleanup or for rebuilding. St. John's has been very intentional that when they send groups out into the neighborhoods, they are accompanied by people from the congregation who are using the LWML spiritual care kits that includes, I believe, like a Portals of Prayer and a Bible, some other things. And these are folks who are oftentimes trained as Stephen ministers within a local congregation, and they're going out into these communities as well, and they are they're listening to people, they're praying with them, they are giving them consolation from the scriptures. So that would be another way or an opportunity that folks could serve in St. John's.
Are there other places in Oklahoma that, with all of these storms, there's been any focus? I mean, I know Moore is obviously one of the most important because of the widespread loss of life and how big that storm was. But is there another location that has been hit, another congregation involved, or the district that's doing work elsewhere?
Yes, and interestingly, the weekend before the first major tornado hit in Moore, the community of Shawnee was hit with a deadly tornado, basically obliterated a mobile home park. The pastor, Lewis Walters, I believe his name is, from Redeemer, and forgive me if I'm not keeping all of the names of the congregation straight, but, you know, I've been very, very pleased that as we get out in the field, our pastors have good instincts, I mean, good pastoral instincts. So Pastor Lewis Walters, for example, even though the nation didn't respond with coverage in Shawnee as they did to Moore, he and his congregation were not distracted by that. They got out into the community. I have been on the phone with him a number of times providing some consultation and guidance. He really played a strong leadership role for his congregation in getting out and finding ways that they could fill some niches within, you know, that the existing needs in Shawnee. And the last I heard from him, that was very well received within the community, and his congregation was very excited to be able to participate in that way. But you're right, that didn't get hardly any national coverage at all.
A great number of storms crossed the United States over the past several weeks and have caused millions of dollars in damage due to flooding, tornadoes, hail, wildfires, and heavy winds. Where World Lutheran News Digest is produced within the St. Louis metropolitan area in Missouri, rains from storms over the region caused major river flooding, and several tornadoes have caused damage to members of LCMS churches. including residents of St. Charles County, St. Louis County, and neighboring Illinois counties. But this time we must report that there are also congregations that have suffered losses during these events, including Zion Lutheran Church in Mount Olive, Illinois, which sustained some tornado damage to its steeple, and Trinity Lutheran Church in Edwardsville, Illinois, which reported roof damage from storm-related winds. On June 12th, in Manteno, Illinois, a strong storm ripped across the construction site of the new church building for Risen Savior Lutheran Church, flattening much of the building. Now the laborers from Risen Savior in Manteno are forced to rebuild what had already been erected, delaying the construction. Reverend John Folley says with natural and man-made disasters constantly being reported, they are made aware of these situations by local disaster response coordinators, local district officials, and pastors. Sometimes they will even hear from the congregants impacted by these disasters. Folley notes that there is always a tremendous amount of communication flowing through the Mercy Operations arm of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. That, however, does not stop them from checking the news for other situations.
We're monitoring things on a day-by-day basis.
You can find out more about LCMS disaster response through a link at this story on Worldwide KFUO on the WLN Digest page. Through that link, you can also download survival information. That page provides an easy way to donate online to help out with financial assistance to aid the Mercy operations and disaster response efforts to help those who have experienced these life-changing events.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. Idu Loga Lutheran Vartha Parivadi Agunu. Ya Vishwa Lutheran Samachar Hai.
World Lutheran News Digest is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO. You can also listen to WLN Digest on demand at kfuo.org. To correspond with World Lutheran News Digest, write to WLN Digest, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri 63105, or email news@kfuo.org.